Cuts here with Let's Talk to Animals. I am an animal sensitive and intuitive, an animal communicator, if you will, and a Reiki master practitioner here at animallovelanguages.com. If you've been following along with us for a while now, you know that we're in our fourth season. And in fact, this is the inaugural episode of season four. For our first two seasons, one and two, I spent many enjoyable hours conversing with wonderful colleagues in the interspecies intuitive field, folks from around the world who are involved in conversing with animals and supporting animals and their people in all phases of life, in all walks of life, at all stages of life. And for season three, we kind of took it a couple steps further and took a look at what happens next when an animal reveals an unmet need or a desire, or something comes up during an animal communication conversation that indicates that that animal's person needs to take some action? What happens next? How do we navigate that part of the conversation successfully? Does it require doing something differently at home? Does it require perhaps offering a referral to a complementary practitioner? And so hopefully you've been enjoying seasons one, two, and three. If you are new here, welcome. If you are returning to the Let's Talk to Animals community, welcome. For season four, you know, I've been doing a lot of listening and I've loved it. I'm very comfortable wearing my little hostess badge and kind of staying a little bit behind the scenes and just facilitating conversations about one of my favorite topics in the world, animal communication. But for season four, I feel called to kind of come out, maybe take that hostess badge and set it aside and put on my interspecies intuitive communicator badge and talk a little bit more with you directly about my own experiences as an animal communicator and as an energy worker and a light worker in the interspecies community. And so what I want to start with is to just share a little bit of my background and story, maybe kind of give you a little bit of context for who you're listening to and where I'm coming from in my passion for animal communication and my desire to share that passion with as many people as are interested in talking with animals. So interspecies communication is a birthright gift that's available freely to all animals of any species. And that includes us, Homo sapiens, the human animal. This isn't something that is widely mirrored in all communities and in our species. In fact, it's relatively easy to go through most of or all of your life without ever once encountering this ability within yourself, at least not directly. And certainly if you do encounter it, it's easy to wind up in a situation where you just don't get any validation for that. And it's not mirrored to you. You don't know anybody else who does it. Maybe you're even connected with people who actively try to discourage you from believing that interspecies communication is possible or that it could possibly be happening to you. This is just kind of the phase that we're in. You know, we're no longer a tribal people in most parts of the world. We've left our indigenous and tribal roots far behind. We no longer remember what it was like to be out there in the greater food chain of life, foraging for our supper alongside all kinds of other animal species. And because of that, we've really distanced ourselves from our sensory and intuitive pathways and our own fight, flight, freeze survival instincts that have so much information of so much value to share with us. And so often, unless we cross paths with somebody who awakens this awareness in ourselves, or we have an experience with an animal that's so profound that it prompts us to dig a little deeper and look a little bit further behind the scenes into how connected are we really, then, you know, we may never really set aside any time in our life to explore this aspect of what it means to be a human animal, a part of all life happening here on this planet. And in fact, I'll share the story of how it happened for me. You know, I've always been an introspective, intuitive, introverted individual, highly artistic. Many years I spent as a songwriter and a performing artist, as a freelance writer. I founded and ran an international mentoring community based on a book I wrote. I've been on stage since I was 8 years old. So always very much interested in the inner workings of me and then how to kind of extract the best hits of Shannon, if you will, and offer something of value to share with others. I've studied with many, many meditation masters and teachers over the years, certainly have read voraciously. And over the last several years, have been studying with internationally known intuitive teacher Sonia Choquette, taken several of her workshops and courses, I'm a member of her community, and really have been unpacking all the different ways that both verbal and nonverbal communication works in my life, how I send messages, how I receive messages, and I've always maintained since I was about 19, so many, 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 many moons, many decades worth of moons now, I've maintained a daily meditation practice. And often I get some really interesting information in my daily meditations. And one morning, you know, this happened right after I turned 50. My long-term relationship had just totally imploded and we had separated after many years of trying to make it work. And it wasn't working. It wasn't wanting to work. And then I turned 50 and then my very best friend in the world suddenly died 6 days later on Christmas Eve. And just a whole host of kind of catastrophic events unfolded from there. My father passed away. My precious rescued box turtle, Bruce, escaped. And my mother had a catastrophic fall. And my whole life changed in just what felt like the blink of an eye. It just, everything shifted. And I was moving at what felt like great speeds, both inwardly and outwardly. And perhaps this opened me up to a new level of receptivity to new information, new insights about myself, my life path and trajectory. Because somewhere in all of that chaos, one morning I was meditating and I heard the words, "You are an animal sensitive and intuitive." My very first reaction was, and I'm kind of used to getting these downloads in meditation. I've spent 3 decades with a daily practice. And so, you know, this isn't my first download rodeo, so to speak. And I thought to myself, well, that's just fascinating. And I do love animals and I've always loved animals and I've always kept company with animals. And I have a book series and a rather popular blog series and Instagram over at Love and Feathers and Shells, where I share the daily activities of my interspecies family. So in a way, this information felt like it was right up my alley. I'm like, yeah, I do feel very sensitive to animals. And I do feel like I have a deep intuitive connection with my animals. And I definitely see how nature is my happy place and my place of restoration and sanctuary. And yet I still don't understand what that means. And for my 50th birthday, I had a session scheduled with Sonia, my intuitive teacher. And so I decided I was going to ask for her insights. And I asked her, I said, "Sonia, recently I was meditating and I heard a calm, still, very confident and quiet inner voice say to me, 'You are an animal intuitive and sensitive.'" And it just dropped into my awareness out of nowhere. And I loved it and I'm fascinated, but I don't know what it means. And she was just delighted. She just clapped her hands together and she said, "Oh, animal communication, that's a brilliant career path for you." And I said to her, "Well, you know, interesting that you say that, because I have been talking with a friend of mine who loves animals the way that I do. And we have been talking about perhaps looking for an animal communication teacher, maybe taking a class together." And she was really funny. She was like, "Even thinking about it, the animals are waiting to talk to you. Time's a wasting. You should be in it already." And she just really kind of expedited my awareness, my understanding, and my process of, you know, kind of getting with the program here. She was like, kind of, you know, stop dropping the ball. And in all of the unfolding chaos of that whole year, studying animal communication became such an anchor for me and such a rock to reconnect me every single day with my own inner guidance system. And I started feeling like a spaceship that had been left behind on Earth by some alien tribe. And all of a sudden they came back to claim it, and all these wonderful little bells and whistles started turning on again, and the ship started humming, and its little engines started going, and all those little computer printouts started to bleep and blip up. And I felt like, man, I kind of have been living this half-life. Like, I didn't realize there was so much to being a human, to being me. I didn't realize I had access to so much information, and good information, reliable and also unconditionally loving, gentle inner guidance that I can depend on, that's there for me, that's on call for me anytime I need it. And this was just a very fundamental, like, kind of building the foundation of what would become a very beautiful container of space in which to hold amazing interspecies conversations with all kinds of different animals from all kinds of different walks of life in very fascinating ways, and also to deepen and improve the connections and the conversations that I was having with my own species. Right about the same time, my father was getting really ill, and my best friend who had passed was a Reiki master. And to be quite honest, I had forgotten all about the fact that I had been attuned to Reiki level 1 and 2 back in my 20s. I'd completely forgotten about it. And here I am, I've just turned 50, and my best friend, who's a practicing Reiki master, passes away suddenly. And my father's getting ill, and he's really starting to his health is starting to fail. And all of a sudden, one morning, I had just kind of started studying animal communication, and my hands, if they felt like they turned on. I was over visiting my parents, and my dad walked by, and my hands, almost of their own accord, just kind of picked up and tried to go after him. And I thought, oh, I think I know what's happening, but I don't know what to do next. So I'd better go and find a Reiki master who can reattune me and give me some mentoring and some guidance. And so I took care of that. And in between getting my Reiki 1 and 2 attunement and getting and becoming a Reiki master practitioner, my father passed. And because of the Reiki and my deep, 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 ever deepening connection to my own intuitive pathways, I was able to shepherd him through his end of life transition, through his hospice experience, to receive messages from him, even though he was in a coma and could not speak, to offer so much guidance and comfort to his care team. And none of it felt like it was anything that I was quote unquote doing. It felt like it was happening through me because I had an openness and a willingness and an intense desire, a humble desire to be of service. And so this has formed the cornerstone of how I enter into, how I even approach, how I even contemplate entering into any type of interspecies interaction is, you know, we've got to come from a place of open-hearted willingness, humility, for what I call the empty cup perspective, where we're coming with an empty cup saying, I don't know anything about you, but I really want to learn. Please fill my empty cup with insights. Please share with me anything that's you know, on your mind, on your heart. If you have a burning desire, you've had something you wanted to get off your chest, if you have an unmet need or a want, if you have specific last wishes, if you're in your end of life transition, or if you're lonely and you like a companion, or whatever it may be, if you want to share some insight or guidance for the humans in your life. As a communicator, I'm coming in primarily first and foremost and fundamentally to listen. Listening is gold. It's one of your required superpowers as an interspecies communicator. If you don't love to listen, it's going to be a rough road to learn how to have a really productive interspecies communication, because we can't do the thing that we so often do with other human animals, where we're up in our head. We've either decided that we already know what they're going to say, or we have other things on our mind and we've kind of checked out because those feel more pressing or important, or we don't understand what they're saying, or we don't like how they're saying it. And so we just kind of dissociate and check out, or we don't like what they're saying, and or we disagree with it. And so we're up in our own head arguing with them. And in any case, we're not listening. And if we're not listening, we're not having a conversation. And so first and foremost, animal communication requires listening, wide open listening ears and a very, very quiet mind and lips that are not moving. And this is where we have to dig down deep. We have to put piers, if you will, in the house building terminology. We put piers down, really deep ones. We make sure we want to build on very solid soil and have stability from which to build. Animal communication, you know, when I was first learning, when I was having my very first interspecies conversations, it was just so shiny and new and so wonderful. And there was so much opening up within me all at once. It was like I got a big bunch of roses, colorful flowers every single day from a secret admirer. It was so shiny and new and fabulous and fun. But as I progressed in and made the decision, of course, not everyone does, but I made the decision to kind of hang out as Shingle and GoPro, if you will, and you know, offer this service to others on a professional basis. There are conversations that are not fun at all. Very, very serious stuff gets discussed. And so really being mindful of having that profound respect, you never know when something absolutely life-changing is going to come. It's going to come flowing in from that animal to you, and you don't want to miss it, because that's the goal. That's why you're there. And this is why, for me, even though I came to actual animal communication relatively late in life, it certainly wasn't on my radar. In fact, I was one of the people who thought that animal communication is something that only, you know, it was like one of the really cool careers that you only get if you're born into it, like, you know, being a singer or being a, you know, sports person or something. Either you have the talent or you don't. And the truth is that for animal communication, we all have the talent. We all have the talent, but it's still about what we do with it, how we hone it. And for me, having meditated since I was a teenager really prepared the path. It really paved the road. And so that actually moving into a space where I could take my meditation practice to that next level of having intuitive conversations it felt so seamless. I was already in listening mode. Now I'm just focusing what I'm listening for and who I'm listening to. It doesn't mean that if you're one of these anti-meditators that you can't find another pathway through which to awaken and activate and focus your listening ears. Our longtime family friends actually told me once, he's a great musician. He told me once that he felt closest to God when he was out in the fields with his dog and his shotgun. That was his truth. That was his truth. So he maybe never has sat down to meditate a day in his life, but he still found a pathway through which he can feel close to what he termed God. You could call it any number of things, but there's something so intimate about that connection that he's referring to. So that what's most important is that you find that for yourself, whether it's meditation or yoga is another one of my favorites, or you go and lay down in a field and look up at the sky, or maybe you like to garden, or you like to contemplate and journal. It doesn't matter. And there's so many more. There are so many more. Or play with your children. I mean, being around kids and pets, it really awakens the childlike wonder that opens our listening ears and gets us curious and wanting to learn new things. And that's really what we're aiming for. And in engaging with an animal, if we're not in that place, we need to get to that place before we initiate the intention to converse with an animal. And that brings me back to the most important point for, you know, beginning your animal communication journey, which is just, it's about awakening your awareness of what might be possible and recognizing that it can happen anytime. Einstein famously said, we have two choices in life. You can live as if nothing's a miracle or as if everything is a miracle. So when we live as if everything's a miracle, we live without limitation. We live without certain experiences in life being either unbelievable, impossible, or simply off limits, either for all of us or just for us personally. And so consider, as we close out this episode one of season four of Let's Talk to Animals, consider what miracles it might be time to say yes to. Would you like to experience a miracle in your life? If you've already had any experiences of interspecies communication, or even if you just feel sometimes like your own animals are trying to tell you something, you're not quite getting the message, consider that that may be a miracle. Knocking on your door, asking if you'd like to have a cup of tea or maybe a glass of wine together. If you're interested in learning more about taking those first steps into animal communication conversation, I have good news for you. Over at animallovelanguages.com, I've got a number of free resources, including a 5-day, really a 6-day animal communication camp and a 4-part intuitive pet parent workshop and quite a number of videos that can help guide you through the first steps of acquainting yourself with your interspecies communication intuitive pathways, seeing, hearing, feeling, sensing, knowing. I feel like one of the best ways to experience animal communication firsthand is to actually schedule a session for you and your animal. And this is really especially good for the doubting left brain, which is so analytical and so rational. And there is the left brain absolutely has a role to play in interspecies communication, but it can take a little digging to get to it. And so for me, for many, many years, since I thought that animal communication was something you either popped out of the womb with or you didn't pop out of the womb, you either had it or you didn't, I hired animal communicators. I had experience after experience that validated it for me intuitively that this is really happening. I didn't understand how. I didn't inquire because I didn't think it was something that was a learnable skill at that time, but I absolutely experienced that it was authentic and it was transforming my relationships with my own companion animals for the better. And so I had, in fact, by the time my longtime animal communicator that I used started dropping hints that I could do this, I had already had enough experiences where I felt like, yeah, this is a real thing. I just didn't believe her that I too could do it. And it took actually having a direct download in meditation and hearing I am an animal sensitive and intuitive and talking with my own intuitive mentor, Sonia Choquette, and learning, oh, well, since she really isn't getting the point, we're going to come right out and say it. And that's cool. Sometimes we need that. But just understanding that, just having a session for yourself, whether you want to connect with a pet who's currently with you in body or a pet who's passed and is now in spirit, this is a great way to just kind of open up your awareness. What does it feel like? What does it sound like? What does it look like? Just kind of feel it out for yourself. And I'd be delighted to support you in that. And of course, we have a whole host of wonderful communicators that I've interviewed on here on Let's Talk to Animals that you can also find if you go to our podcast page on the website, and you can get lots of incredible people to choose from. And then, of course, if you'd like to study periodically, I open up classes. And if there isn't one going when you're listening to this, you can always add your name to the interest list. But I'd love to serve in that role for you and be a mentor and a guide and a coach and most importantly, a cheerleader for you. If you say yes to animal communication, then I say yes to supporting you 150%. So I hope that you have enjoyed today's episode of Let's Talk to Animals. I hope you'll stick around for season 4. And if you haven't got a chance to enjoy all of our previous episodes, that perhaps you'll add those to your playlist as well. You can always find us at animallovelanguages.com/podcast. You can also search for us at Let's Talk to Animals on any of your favorite podcast streaming services and over on YouTube under Shannon Cutts. So I hope that you will enjoy and that you will return next week for yet another wonderful episode of Let's Talk to Animals. So happy to meet you. So honored that you've given interspecies animal communication a bit of your time. And I look forward to staying in touch. Okay. More soon on my love.